One of the most remarkable political stories of recent times has been the success of Donald Trump. Simply put, the Donald has perplexed and perturbed the so-called experts. Now, sure, he took a beating in Wisconsin this week, but at this stage, he remains the favourite to win the Republican nomination. And even if he fades away, Trump has left a lasting imprint on the American political landscape. Now, writing in the News Limited papers recently, Mark Latham argued, "For the past quarter of a century, under the 24-hour news cycle, whenever a non-politician, a genuine outsider, has run for elected office, the media have jumped all over their novelty value, depicting them as some kind of freak show." Latham went on to argue, "Donald is by no means perfect, but I much prefer his approach to the lying snakes of machine politics and media manipulation." And Latham went on to defend Trump's foreign policy, which he says is a repudiation of the hawkish and neoconservative worldview that culminated in the disastrous invasion of Iraq in 2003. Mark Latham, of course, is a former Labor leader. These days he divides his time between writing a fortnightly News Limited column, always must reading, and he's a commentator on Sky News and Channel 7. It's a great pleasure to welcome back to Radio National. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Tom. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being with us. Now, how do you account for the success of Donald Trump?
Well, around the Western world, there's a deep public cynicism about political insiders, the people who manipulate the system, the spin doctors, the political tricks. And in the United States, there's a burning resentment about both the left and the right-wing establishment. So for Trump, he's appealing to voters who've had a gutful of political correctness. They don't support porous borders. They're very worried about the United States going into further unnecessary wars, such as the disaster in Iraq. And they've got a worry about the power of Wall Street, the bank bailout during the global financial crisis. They think all the rules of politics are geared up for the insider. So Trump is the ultimate outsider, and despite this cacophony, this tidal wave of abuse and attacks on him by the establishment, he's still on his feet. He's still the Republican front runner, and I hope he gets the nomination.
But critics would argue, you know, his rude and crude behaviour is debasing the political culture. I mean, we know what he said about Mexican illegal immigrants, Muslim immigrants. His negative ratings among women and minorities are rising. Why is he then a role model?
Well, this is the whole point of pushing back against political correctness. Whether we like it or not, some of the illegal Mexican immigrants are bad people who sell drugs. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So Trump is out there speaking to reality that the public accepts. And Marco Rubio on his way out, little Marco on his way out of the contest, said that one of the appeals of Trump is that he's saying the things that for many, many years Americans themselves have wanted to say, but have been too scared because of the cloak of political correctness. So they like that talk, and why shouldn't they? I mean, you're not going to solve political problems of a long-standing nature unless you're dealing with political realities.
One of the controversial things about the Donald, though, is his position on trade and globalisation. Now, during your political career, Mark, you, of course, were, and you still are, an unashamed supporter of the economic reform agenda, free trade. Yet Trump has distinguished himself from most American conservatives, Republicans, on trade deals like the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, entitlement programs, welfare. To what extent does Trump's economic nationalism disturb you?
Well, it worries me. Trump says he's a free trader, but he's against bad trade deals signed up by the United States under the Obama administration. So, you know, the sort of rhetoric is having a bet each way. I'm not saying Trump's the perfect candidate. I like his foreign policy. I like his plan to reduce the budget deficit. Mm-hmm. I like his attack on political correctness. I like his strong borders policy, but his ban on Muslim immigration and some of his rhetoric about trade, they're not things that I can support. But, you know, that's 4 out of 6 that I like. That's a lot better than Ted Cruz and a lot better than Hillary Clinton in my book.
And one of the things you find attractive about Trump, and you're obviously not alone both here and in America, is that Washington, a bit like Canberra, this is Trump's argument about Washington, it's become an entrenched class of politicians and they're divorced increasingly from the public. Do you think we in Australia face a similar problem on our doorstep?
I think there's no doubt the public is very sceptical about insiders in politics. They have a better sense now what political correctness is all about. It's trying to suppress the common sense voices of suburban and regional Australia. I think people have got a sense that a lot of election campaigning is just trickery. And, you know, when you see people who are heavily scripted, you know, one of the problems Bill Shorten's got is that everything he says on TV is so scripted. Absolutely. You know, you might as well put an actor up there. The public are seeing through that. And I think the same is also true of Ted Cruz, who is heavily scripted. You know, he's a real spin doctor, spiv type candidate, Cruz. So Trump...
And Hillary Clinton as well, Mark.
Clinton, of course. I mean, the number of tricks and manipulation of the Clinton machine is infamous. You know, Trump stands against all that, and sure, he'll misspeak, he'll say something that's a bit outrageous, something that might not be factually spot on, but at least he is speaking as a real person in a real context with real beliefs and emotions, and I think the public can very much relate to that.
Yeah, but many people would say we had that experience in the mid to late 90s with Pauline Hanson. She was authentic, she didn't speak like a politician, she resonated with a significant segment of Australians, both Coalition and Labor voters. Yet we've been immune to the kind of populist, nationalist movements that are proliferating around Europe, like Le Pen. Why do you think we're immune to this?
Well, Hanson's no Donald Trump. Trump is a very, very successful and smart business person who's had a high-profile career both in the media and in property development. So Trump has got a lot of achievement in his life. And quite frankly, Tom, one of the paradoxes of the Australian media, the way they report Trump, to me, is unrecognisable from the Donald Trump I see in American television interviews, where he will speak with knowledge and common sense about a lot of issues. And he is no dope. He's no dud, and he's a lot better and capable person, and this is why he's enduring better in the context than someone like Pauline Hanson. So too in France, the Le Pens are not fools. I mean, they're fairly accomplished, clever people who know what they're talking about for their side of politics. So, you know, when you get these outsiders who speak on these issues in an informed and logical way, rather than, you know, sort of fading away like Pauline Hanson, well, the public warms to that and they become a bit more enduring than you'd otherwise expect.
How would you respond to this argument that in North America and in Western Europe, you've seen economic recession, economic insecurity since the Great Recession in 2009? There is a genuine fear of porous borders. Here in Australia, we haven't had a recession in nearly 25 years, and we have a pretty tough border protection policy that, whatever you think of it, it helps boost public confidence in large-scale immigration. Isn't that a reason why we might be different from, say, the United States and Europe when it comes to these Trump-like movements?
Yeah, I think they're two important factors: Australia's economic success, Australia's border protection, particularly under the Howard and Abbott governments. They've meant that the public has got a bit more confidence in the outcomes by government. But Tom, have no doubt, in this country and other parts of the Western world, the burning public resentment about political correctness is acute. And why have we got so much political correctness in Australia at the moment? Well, the left, basically, they're a joke on economic policy. They used to talk about protectionism and central economic planning. Well, that's now laughable, given Australia's long economic boom. The left used to have a foreign policy stance, but that fell down when the Berlin Wall disintegrated. So the left stand for nothing now on foreign and economic policy. So they've gone onto the cultural agenda, trying to re-engineer Australian society in their own image. It's a new leftist cultural revolution that they're attempting in Australia through the education system, through government agencies like the Human Rights Tribunals, through many of the media organisations such as Fairfax and even here at the ABC, except for your program. So, you know, you're seeing a new wave of political correctness in Australia. And I'll tell you what, people in the suburbs and regions absolutely despise it. So that politically correct element is very, very strong in Australia and shouldn't be underestimated.
This is Tom Switzer on RN. My guest is Mark Latham, and we're talking about Donald Trump. Mark, you mentioned foreign policy. The Donald riles up the neoconservatives, the national security hardliners in the Republican Party. Here he is on the eve of the South Carolina primary in February.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. They lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay. All right.
Donald Trump railing against Bush and the neocons over the Iraq war. Mark Latham.
Well, isn't that just fantastic? What a great, accurate description of what happened. I mean, it's just fantastic to hear a Republican presidential candidate talk that way. And why aren't the left in Australia supporting Trump in his condemnation of the disaster of the Iraq war? Why are they saying it's good to hear a Republican candidate say that the United States shouldn't get involved in unnecessary wars. They should have a less interventionist and adventurous policy on the global scale. Why aren't they supporting Trump's position there? The voters in the United States are supporting it. The neocons hate it. The foreign policy establishment in the United States and Australia absolutely hate it because they refuse to face up to the reality that their decision to go into Iraq cost 5,000 lives in the Allied troops, cost the United States $2 trillion. It cost the lives of 500,000 Iraqis. And, of course, it led to the rise of Islamic State. Mm. So all the money we're spending now and all the terror and fear we have because of Islamic State's activities around the world, it's a direct product of the faulty decision to go into Iraq. So, you know, full credit to Trump for speaking that way.
Well, on that note, in a recent paper for ASPE, this is the Canberra think tank, your former colleague Kim Beazley, just returned from 6 years as our ambassador in Washington, he's criticised Trump's foreign policy. Now, Labor under your leadership and Simon Crean's leadership opposed the Iraq war. What was Beazley's stance on Iraq in early 2003?
Well, I remember a Labor right-wing caucus meeting where Beazley stood there bellowing, comments directed mainly at me, that for those who were attacking George W. Bush, for those who didn't want the United States to go into Iraq, for those who opposed the invasion, he said, and I remember these words so clearly, he said, just be aware of what's going to happen. The United States will win this war quickly, and the Iraqi scientists will stand there in front of the Western TV cameras, and they'll be pointing, saying, there they are, meaning that the Iraqi scientists were going to be pointing to stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. Now, of course, no such thing ever happened. No such thing ever happened. And Beazley and people like Peter Jennings and Greg Sheridan, These neocons in the Australian context, all of them massive critics of Trump, they've got to face the reality that their faulty support for a faulty invasion of Iraq cost many thousands of lives. It cost the United States huge amounts of money. It's cost Australia huge amounts of money. We're spending more on national security now because their decision to go into Iraq led to the rise of Islamic State and made the world a less safe place. It actually increased the number of terrorists on a global scale Instead of decreasing the threat of terrorism. So why do we listen to people who made a massive mistake in 2003, the seminal mistake of our time in foreign policy? Why would we listen to them one jolt? They should be dismissed as fools who made a massive mistake then, and we should learn from that mistake and understand that this type of adventurism is an act of folly.
Yeah. Well, on Beazley, though, he'd argue that if, and he's not alone here, Mark, that if Trump won the election and significantly reduced US involvement in Asia, the impact on our security would be profound.
Well, what about the impact on security from Beazley cheering on the invasion of Iraq, Tom? I mean, the world is a less safe place because of the people, including Beazley, who cheered on the Americans in 2003. Mm. They led directly to the creation of Islamic State. It made Iraq not a safe place globally, but global headquarters for international terrorism. The bombings that we've had in France and Brussels, the fear of attacks in any part of the Western world, this is all a direct product of going in to Iraq. So Beazley can talk about the extra costs if Trump is less interventionist as an American president. What about the costs we've borne over the last 13 years in lives lost, in money spent, in families and people not having peace of mind throughout the Western world? A massive mistake. Dismiss Beazley. Just ignore everything he's got to say because he was so badly wrong in 2003, he lost all credibility thereafter.
Yeah, Mark, we could go on forever on this. Thanks so much for being on Between the Lines.
A pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
That was Mark Latham, the former Labor leader.